traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The amount of meat on this bone.
On your bone?
Because of the engagement, you agreed to come on Impulsive.
I saw how big it was and I was like, you did really good. Now let's make out.
Went to go get my skydiving license. She just wasn't cool with it.
That's not what I signed up for. Yeah. Like, you're a wrestler and you're an action figure, a boxer.
You not having with me for the duration of time that you did was very important.
Didn't stop her from being the Nordic Vortex. But listen. Were you at all worried about her reaction to filming such an intimate moment?
I wanted the low gang to get their piece of the You should see my legs, babe.
Are they sunburnt?
I have a line.
Did you put
from my shorts?
Did you put sunscreen on?
No, not on my legs.
Is that bad?
You're bad.
Because I don't wear sunscreen.
Are we? Is this rolling? Are we rolling? That was all captured. That conversation. That may have been the most raw, real relationship conversation you've seen from these two. And I should say, that's what I see all day long. Like, this is me in the background. Like, what are they talking about now? Did you put sunscreen on your legs, babe?
I can't even see you, Mike.
Well, that's because there's a 6'3" superhuman.
It is better
than. I'm kidding.
Just not having to look at Mike.
I can't believe you're not wearing shoes.
That's actually disgusting. Get off of me.
You're not supposed to be there. Give me space. You're manspreading. Manspreading.
Speaking of not supposed to be there, I am going to need you to move, buddy. Because our guest today is my fucking fiance.
I knew you were going
to
say this.
Sitting next to her on this podcast.
I knew you were going to say this. And do you want to know why I knew you were going to say this? For 400 episodes, I have always known one certainty for this show. And that is that me and my boy right here are working together as a team against whatever evils, positives, negatives, whatever. And this is the
like
first episode I've ever felt like I was the outsider on. Like,
right.
This is our show now.
Welcome to Impulsive.
Impulsive.
That was awesome.
Nina Eggdahl Paul coming in hot on Impulsive. I actually thought about replacing you with her. Eventually.
I think the audience would love that. Dude, having a strong, independent female energy on the show.
I can't wait for all the Johnny comments.
We'll get into that. But no, seriously, get the fuck off.
Are we going to switch?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay.
Is this okay for you?
You're the guest,
okay,
Nina.
Perfect.
Oh, actually, sorry. I'm sorry. Can you say into that mic really quickly? Mike, would you mind switching with me?
Mike, would you mind
Absolutely
switching
not.
With
You're
me?
The guest, Nina, of course.
While they're switching, I'll go ahead and do it. Guys, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button.
Did I leave my phone over there, like hidden in the couch?
It could have slipped in the crevice, Mikey.
It did. Okay. Is there a right
hey, baby. Wait.
What?
Do you wanna sit here, maybe?
Whatever you think.
What the fuck is this kid doing right now?
This is your show.
I kind of want to put you here.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Is that okay for your good side? Oh, because this is your bad side.
Oh, y'all are whack. That's so whack.
I have a good side.
Bro.
I look like an ogre on this side, and this side's kind of defined right here.
You look great either way.
What the fuck,
dude? Oh, my God.
To Jeff, did you hear that?
Chairs.
Did you hear what he just said?
Musical chairs.
Well, you got a good side because one of your eyes got knocked out.
Yo,
it's a fat, I mean.
Mikey, Michael.
What?
It's just a guy.
Me and him say those type of things.
Make a heroin joke.
He's got two bad sides.
You do have two bad sides.
That's funny.
That's not true, Jeff.
Anyways, thanks for having me on the show today, guys. My life started in 1985, January 13th. And it's, you know, it hasn't been an easy run.
It's not about you, Mikey. This is about
I'm in the
guest
seat.
I can't believe it, babe.
I know I'm here.
Just be honest with me. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good now. It's definitely, you guys are intimidating. Obviously, I know you both very, very well, but I don't know. I was a little nervous about coming on here, but I'm here and I'm happy I'm here. So
thanks, babe.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous too. I'll be
you
honest.
Are? Yeah, are you nervous too, Mike?
No, also, I'm cool as a cucumber. I've battled Ben Shapiro on the show, Alex Jones. I've been up against Mike Tyson on mushrooms with pigeons. Nina Paul is something I feel like I can deal with.
Okay,
to be honest. I'm actually very excited about it. I'm very excited about it. I think there's a lot of stuff people don't know about you.
Well, that's why I'm nervous. The amount of meat on this bone.
On your bone?
the amount of meat on my bone.
Okay, so where do you go now?
I mean, how do you envision this going down? I'm more than prepared to start firing questions. I mean, how do you?
I want to provide a little bit of context for what's happening here.
Did you do the whole intro?
I did while you guys were switching.
Oh, okay.
I told him to subscribe. I hit my CTAs, babe.
Okay, good.
Don't worry. look, we have been super intentional about being private while we were dating. Mm-hmm. And I did that because I didn't want our relationship in any way to be about or affected by content, especially knowing, because I've been a fucking veteran in this space for so long, that when you put yourself out there online, often you are throwing yourselves to the wolves of the internet, and it can be a gnarly place. Yep. And this is the first time, because of the engagement, you've agreed to come on Impulsive.
I know. I needed that ring on my finger before going here, but it's here. So it's here. We're ready to go.
It's here. And
it's gorgeous. Did you take a look at it?
I've not even seen it
yet.
Okay.
Do you want to take a look at it?
Yeah. Can you just take it off your finger?
I don't know about that.
Jeff. Where's Jeff at?
No. Because no. He'll steal it. I'll be honest, Nina. I'm very fucking proud of this ring.
It's gorgeous. And is there a fly around?
There was. It flew
there
off.
There was. Okay. It's absolutely stunning and perfect. And you have outdone yourself. Like, this is everything I wanted and more, and so are you.
Thanks, babe. I was
how much did it cost?
It
doesn't have to be a ballpark. It could just be the exact number.
I'm not gonna say.
No, you can say six digits.
Well, that isn't indicative of how much it costs. I was debating on telling Nina, right? Like do you tell your fiance how much?
I don't
think so.
That's kind of weird.
That's what I thought too, but I tell her everything.
Yeah.
And I know she wanted to know. Even though she wouldn't have asked me, I know she wanted to know.
I held off for a little bit.
And then one day I was filtering through the GIA report, which is like,
do you know what that is?
I do. Yeah, it's a diamond rating system.
Essentially, that's what it is. And there's the intricacies of buying a ring.
VVS, this type, that type. How is it cut?
Everything.
What color stone is it? Where is it from?
Yep. Oh, you know it all.
We used to have to buy certain things with drug proceeds, yes.
I'll say the specs of it. You could estimate the price. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's an E-color.
E-color.
Emerald cut.
Yep.
6.23 carats.
Yep.
VVS 2.
Yep.
VVS 2.
Hell,
that's pretty
that's,
much
that's about
yeah
it.
And then you got the bullet cuts that the you decided cut, yourself you made it your own, which I really appreciate.
But I was so surprised, and I told you this, that when I opened the box to give you the ring, mm-hmm. you kind of just glanced at it. You didn't even like look at the ring that much, and you more fixated on me, which I was told actually by your sister Abby and like my mom and like girls in general, they're like, when she sees the ring she's gonna black out. But when I did it, she just looked at it and we started hugging, and it was such, in that moment I was like, you know, this is why this is the girl I'm marrying, because like this moment, even though it is about this object right here, is just us. Yeah. It's just us right now. I had to tell her, I was like, look at this. Like, do you like it?
Yeah.
Is this what you wanted?
I wanted to just take it all in. Like, I kept telling myself, like, just be present and like do the mental photographs and like, you know, just really memorize what's happening, because I knew it was only going to happen once in my life. And it was so important for me to remember this, because I don't remember jack shit. So I had to focus.
Me either. I don't.
And I get the rest of my life to look at this ring. So I wasn't really concerned. I saw how big it was and I was like, you did really good. Now let's make out.
and by the way, we all saw the moment, an incredible moment. I don't know if you know this or not, but it has been responsible for many single, long-awaiting engagement women in the world crying their eyes out this week, watching this wonderful moment. Was there ever any kind of giveaway? Was there ever any kind of moment where you thought this was going to happen? I mean, walk me through this, beautiful Italian proposal and everything that it was.
I mean, I knew it was happening.
Okay. There's some back and forth here. I told you this girl knows everything.
I know. She's just very aware.
Yeah, I'm a witch. Yeah. I'm a witch. A little witchy.
Okay, but tell
me. Sometimes bitchy. Mostly witchy.
She does see the future, and it's insane. But tell me, you texted your friends.
There's a couple of things about the trip to Italy that made me think that it was going to happen. The first thing was Jeff fucking up on speaker on his phone mentioning, which turned out it didn't really have much to do with my actual ring, but I heard it.
I love you, Jeff.
There was the fact that he told his dad he was going to meet my dad, but not that he was seeing my mom. I was like, oh, he probably told his dad about the fact that he's going to ask my dad for the permission to marry me. So I thought about that. There's a few other things.
There were subtle little things that gave it away.
Oh,
and
no, no,
I
no.
Knew
this,
that.
This was the craziest one. This was the craziest one. And I think you think the same thing. I don't know if you remember me telling you this. When we were in Copenhagen doing the Prime tour, we sat at this restaurant and he grabbed my left hand and he literally just grazed my ring finger like this. And I like looked over and like, I was like, he's definitely thinking about the moment where he's going to propose right now. Like, why would he grab my ring finger?
He was thinking about more than that. He was thinking about what exactly the size was.
That's what I was doing, Mikey.
Yeah, the sizing. Because
I knew
maybe.
Fucking Milton, my boxing coach, who I trusted to get her ring size, most likely fucked it up. So first,
I can't believe you asked him.
Getting the ring size wrong, like the amount of detail I went in to try to get this proposal to be perfect was insane. This was getting the proposal perfect was harder than fighting Floyd Mayweather. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life because it's her. I wanted to film it, make a nice piece of content for us to watch for the rest of our lives. And the fucking ring size was the one thing that wasn't perfect.
It's a good story.
Bro, the ring just fucking slipped on her finger. It's way too big. I was like, no, not like this. But yeah, it's a good story.
Wait, so my friends, we got to Lake Como. You know, my dad was there. We flew on a private jet, which is like, we get to do that. We're very lucky enough to get to do that. But like you like bought the plane, which is new. Like usually somebody else covers the expenses of the PJ.
Shout out WWE.
And
or Hard Rock. Like,
shout out Hard Rock.
And like got to Lake Como. I've been dreaming about getting to this specific hotel since I saw it. And like I walked in and Gregory, the like, you know, general manager was there and he knew about everything, but like was playing it so cool. Had the most amazing day. Like we both like looked at each other and we were just like, you were like, this is the most content I've ever felt. And you started crying. Remember that when we ate that panini?
Emotional day for me. That was a good ass panini.
I get it. It wasn't a fucking panini, but it was so good though. And then got to bed, did her thing, and then you pulled out the earrings, and I was like texting my friends. I was like, okay, so no engagement this trip, but I got the sickest earring.
Was that supposed to be a decoy? Was that the intent, or was it supposed to warm her up?
Right? That was my brother Jake's idea, because I figured that having to keep this a secret for 2 months and her just being around all the time, and I also tell her everything, she would have an inkling of a hint or something, and I wanted to make her think, like surely if he got me these dope ass earrings, he's not gonna give me a ring like this trip, you know? And she sent the text. Have it in writing, and it worked. But evidently, when we got to dinner, I was being very weird.
He was being so fucking weird.
I noticed that just even in the video. No. Like, you know, it's stuff that wasn't shown. Like, I just, even in the lead up, bro, how could you not be?
I was so nervous. But you know, the wildest part about all this, I thought I was playing it so cool. In my head, I'm too dirty martinis deep, and I'm like, I'm loose. I'm fucking making convo with my girl.
So like, awkward. we've never had to like force any conversation ever in our entire relationship. And that night, I was like, this guy needs something to lean on. So I was like, why don't we pull up some of the Instagram questions that you've been talking about you wanting to answer. Like it was
we pulled
that
up a questionnaire, dude. Like, it felt like a first date. Yeah, it felt like a fucking first date.
So, right. And then as soon as you did and we sat down, I was like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was the first time in my life, and I've heard people say this, but I felt 50 pounds lighter. It was just so much pressure.
After it happened.
Yeah. Today, we're here with the sponsor for your bouncing bundle of joy. No, we're not talking about a baby. We're talking about your baby makers. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. But just like your babies, your delicate little guys have sensitive skin and deserve products that are not only skin safe, but made with safe ingredients. That's where Manscaped's Platinum Package comes in. From razors to shower care, this package goes above the gold standard for your body hair. So treat your beautiful boys to the world's finest toys at manscaped.com and use our code Logan for 20% off plus free shipping. You know, it's important to be well-groomed. Summer is here. You need to keep it fresh. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. Inside this Platinum Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Ultra Premium body wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner, Ultra Premium deodorant, Crop Reserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball spray toner, anti-chafing boxers, and the Shed travel bag to hold your goods while you travel. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. The Lawnmower 4.0
body trimmer, and weed whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate parts and holes. Both are waterproof, so you can shave with less mess. The Platinum Package 4.0 covers all the bases from head to toe and hair to ball fro. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at the manscaped.com. Use the code Logan. Use the Platinum Package because the gold standards is no longer good enough. Thank you, Manscaped. Back to
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Show.
So looking back, I guess maybe like right after it happened, you have this magical moment. You see this ring. You probably take a second to reflect and look around you at this beautiful setting. And you see your man and you've said yes and all of these things. Were you at all worried about her reaction to your idea of filming such an intimate moment? And what, Nina, was your reaction to it purely like, this is what he does and I'm okay with this? Or was there any kind of friction for that decision?
It's a great question.
I'll let you go.
I was very nervous to film it.
But you had to.
And it felt kind of wrong, to be honest.
Why?
But because, like I said when we first started this podcast, I've been so intentional about keeping things between us. You are not an internet piece of clickbait for me. You're my everything, babe. I fucking love you so much.
I love you.
And so I don't want to drag you into this shitstorm. Sorry, guys watching, but it's a fucking hellhole online.
For sure.
And it is what you make it, and you
it
have to have iron skin. Dude, we posted our first picture together, like, oh, like girlfriend, 6 month
oh
anniversary. And the comments are just scathing, just being mean to Nina. Just,
I've never been bullied my entire life. I don't know how, but this was my first bullying experience. And like, it is just not okay. Like, people are negative for no reason. It's little that are just trolling me. Like, it's
I have a theory.
Well, and kids too. And I'm 100% with you on that. I want to make sure that my place on it is aligned with you. Completely not okay. I think there's been this whole push for like, oh, people are too sensitive, people are too soft, let's make fun of each other, let's call each other fat, let's tell girls they look like guys. Not okay, not cool. We moved away.
There's a 5 minute TikTok video.
Oh my God.
Talking this about this guy dissecting Nina's appearance, no, saying she's transgender.
No, bro.
You can see it here. She's got her hips had them zapple come out, and this.
Oh,
means
have you seen it?
I haven't. But
it's wild.
I have
Mike.
To send it. It got like 9 views.
I prefer
so
to not
like,
even watch
fine.
It, and I wish you guys hadn't even mentioned it, and you know whatever. But I have, and
no,
you have.
Everybody's gonna watch it.
Well,
it's
no,
funny.
They'll never find it.
Yeah, it's deep.
It's
in
buried
there.
In the depths of TikTok.
The good thing is we've graduated because we've been in the space for so long to a point where we know automatically that when people say those type of things, they're just losers.
Yep.
Like I don't like when I see hateful comments. Like 99% of hate on the internet is driven out of jealousy.
What
right?
do people
so
bully
like,
you for?
Age, the type of girls. It doesn't matter. You know how I'm making my money.
You're just saying what I bully you for.
What? No. But it's I don't care. It's not about me.
Do you actually not care? Or are you just saying
zero,
that you don't
zero.
Care?
You used,
I did
you
for
used
so long.
Because I'll pretend I don't care, but like,
no, no,
it
no.
fucking
eventually,
sucks.
Eventually you will. You won't have to because you're not going to be subjected
no, we,
to it.
No, we're going to put Johnny into the block comments. We're going to put
They say
Chin.
She looks like Johnny Knoxville sometimes.
Johnny Knoxville's a very good-looking man.
But he was handsome when he was
Johnny
young.
Knoxville, no,
yeah,
Johnny Knoxville is still
man?
A very good-looking
he is,
man.
He's still very handsome.
He's incredible.
Well, just the only issue is Johnny Knoxville, he's a guy, you know? And Nina's a girl.
I am strong looking.
You're very
Yeah. No, baby, you're fucking gorgeous. You have defined features, and I'll be honest. I have a theory that most of the people leaving these mean comments are men who are shorter than Nina. She's 5'9". She looks like a fucking
How is that not obvious? When you read these comments, how is it not obvious that the only person that would leave a mean comment about someone online is a loser? That is that a complete and utter loser in that current moment. Now, we keep a lot of hope alive for these people because I was a loser once too. Not online. We've talked about this. I've never once left a mean comment. That's ridiculous.
I don't understand the mindset from people being like, I'm going to text this out and then I'm going to post it and feel good about it. Like, what does it do for you?
She's fucking.
But honestly, let's not talk about them because they suck.
For sure.
No, but I want to pivot because I'm actually curious what she's going to say, but I want to continue just answering the question about filming it.
Yep. Okay.
Felt wrong. Also felt important. I have a great memory. I think documenting one's life, and especially if you're good at it, can potentially be one of the most important things humans can do to preserve their history. And when you have a moment that is this special to you, I said I was willing to sacrifice how kind of invasive this feels, and it's the first time I'll have a lens on a moment that should feel like it's just between us.
But I didn't even know it was happening.
That's why. I was able to do it discreetly without her knowing that she was being filmed. Because Kevin was shooting from a second story window with a drape around the kitchen. He was impossible to see.
You know what I thought about?
What?
I almost walked upstairs to use the bathroom in our room.
Would have spoiled everything.
But I literally crossed the stairs and I was like, I might go upstairs.
We had an excuse for it. We had an excuse for everything.
What was your excuse going to be with Kevin sitting with a lens this long out the window? He was hidden behind
bird watching.
He said he was going to take the opportunity to get some B-roll for the Maverick Club.
You don't know that would have like, no.
I think you could. I think you could have sold. Yeah, no, he's
no, there's no fucking way. No
he
way. Sweating, no like way. Crazy. I would have been like, sweaty Kevin. Kevin, I know what's going on here.
But I knew I was good. I'm good at storytelling. And I knew that there's a story here, perhaps the most captivating and definitely significant one to me that I could ever tell. We have a year's worth of footage from us falling in love literally since day one. And I said to myself, I'll make this video. I will make it bare minimum so we can have it for the rest of our lives. If she's okay with it and she's willing to put that online, I'll entertain that conversation.
We had that conversation.
And we landed on, fuck it, let's post it.
It was a very beautiful video. Thanks. It was meaningful. I told him this on the Boys Only episode that we just had, an incredible piece of storytelling. Yeah. The entire, you know, adventure through you guys meeting, falling in love, the friends, all this stuff, and culminating with this moment was very special. And you know, as a storyteller like you are, I'm sure that was it felt important to you.
It was important to me too. Like I told him, I was like, I don't think that, like, the only reason why we're laying in this incredible house in Puerto Rico with our two dogs, being so lucky and so fortunate, is because of his fans and his community that he has built himself. So to me, I didn't want to rob them from that because of me being, you know, overly sensitive or thinking about it too much. Like,
that's,
I was
amazing.
Like, bro, it's just not
come
fair.
On,
it's
man, come on. Sure.
I wanted the low gang to get their piece of
so the low gang, they're out there.
Now I'm the low gang queen.
You are. You're the holy shit, you're queen of the low gang. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the story that people know. And you told a little bit of the backstory, but I don't know how long I want to wait before we run through this relationship, like revisit the start of it. How did you guys meet?
You, buddy.
Well,
there's a few people involved in that.
For
Mike,
sure.
Huge piece. Jonathan Schwartz.
Yep.
Huge piece.
Yep.
Julie Singer.
Yeah.
Huge piece.
So let's talk about it.
While I was shooting 99 Originals, I had contacted through Jonathan Schwartz, the Elite Modeling Agency. I was connected with a girl named Julie from Elite.
Elite Model Management.
And they had Nina Agdale, which I later found out. Am I saying that right?
No, but.
I never get this right. Help.
Never.
Agdale.
Unless you learn to speak
Agdale.
Agdale.
See, that's see, I said it perfectly.
Agdale.
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 We'll have a long time to work on it. It's fine.
So I slaughtered
We'll
it.
Work on it.
Okay.
Well, it'll be Nina Paul, which will be a lot easier for everyone to say.
Thank you. And again, just me and you on this show, baby. Mike's out. We're still impulsive. I was shooting 99. I wanted a model for this particular shoot. They had Nina Agdal. I'll be honest. I thought this girl was the prettiest girl on the planet for a very long time.
Yeah,
so I've had a crush on her since thing, I was like 19, 20.
You like told Mac about me way before.
Wait, dude, yeah, when she had her Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
Like when I was 19. Yo, Nina, that Nina Hag doll's in the Super Bowl commercial. Carl's Jr., whoa, she went crazy. Like I had been loosely watching Nina as I became a bearded man. Well, that was the issue. I was just a cringy, corny online internet kid. And here she is, like the hottest girl on the planet. She's in like relationships and stuff. And
did you ever fantasize about me?
Probably.
Oh.
I get to do it every day.
Dreams come true.
Dreams really do come true, kids. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'll try to get her for the shoot. But obviously, I'll keep it professional, like very professional. And
it was.
We got through rounds of contracts. And the day before we were supposed to shoot for 99 Originals, she fucking canceled on me. I was pissed.
Whatever. Do you know, remember why you canceled?
Yeah, of course I remember.
Well, why don't you say it?
Why don't you say it?
Why don't you say it?
Well, you were, first of all, way too cheap. Like, your day rate was pure shit.
It was
like,
shit. It was
absolute
shit.
Nonsense.
I also,
they were like, you'll get a percentage of your of the sales. I'm like, no. Need the money up front. Like, no. And then, obviously, you have a couple of things in your past that I did not know you personally. And it definitely, you know, I wasn't sure I wanted to be associated with that, and now you're my fiance. But that's because we've talked it all through. But like, if you don't know Logan, and I totally get it, like if you just see, you know, the headlines and the stupid shit that people like to write about you, and they love to pick on people that are doing well, that are good people at the same time, because that's just how the world works. I didn't really know if this was the right job for me at that point in time, so I declined it. But it was honestly mostly because of the money.
We had him on the finish line, Mike. It was the 1 yard line. They canceled on me. Honestly.
Well, she wasn't being greedy. You were just being poor. Yeah. I remember what
you were. I was a starving artist, yeah, dude.
Okay, so you don't do the shoot. And then.
She's dead to me, Mike.
Yep.
I don't give a shit about this girl. I needed this photo. Anyways, 6 months later, we're at the Hard Rock Hotel because Mike dragged me there to get paid a commission because he also got paid a commission. Whatever. I'm at this place. I'm having a shit time. I get a text from Julie Elite. Who the fuck is Julie Elite? Hi, I'm upstairs with Nina. Come upstairs and say hi. I'm like, Nina, scroll up. Oh, Nina Agdol. Oh, this is Julie Elite, the agent who I almost worked with for the Originals. Yeah, right. I'm not going up 4 stories to meet you. No way. Nina takes the phone.
I did.
Texts me. She's like, hi, it's Nina.
I said a photo.
Come upstairs.
Looking cute.
Yellow dress.
Yep. Like a little bumblebee.
Delightful. Come upstairs. My back is broke. I'm 30.
I just hurt my back.
I'm like, oh, she's kind of funny. I'll go upstairs.
Yeah, you did.
So I start to walk upstairs, and sitting at the top of the stairs, standing, this beautiful blonde, about 5'10 that night, yellow dress, looking to, I'm like, oh no. Oh no. But surely she sucks. And we get upstairs, we sit down at this table. David was there. And we just start yapping. And I turn on the Jets. I put on my Riz, dude. I was like, all
right,
I'm
here.
And
you were tired, right? So you had to pull some strings inside of yourself.
I activated. You know when you're like, I'm going to put on for a second and see what's up. And then we just started vibing and hung out the entire night and literally have not left each other's side since.
Yeah.
I knew immediately. I was like, I'm obsessed with you, lady.
You said it that night. You were like, I like you.
I like you.
And you like me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like the second night you were like, I have a feeling we're going to be together for a very long time. And I'm like, what the heck is going on?
And,
like, is this love bombing or is
it
real?
And keep like all of us in mind here too, because he's also telling us this. So I'm getting text messages.
Like, I saw you had little sister the night after.
Right.
Yep.
So I had texted him that first night and said like, I think like something like, yo, we have plans. And it was like, not gonna make it, Mikey. I found my future wife. You know what I'm saying? And I, in my mind, I'm like, what the fuck is this kid talking about? You know what I'm saying? And then I remember it was like the first night. And by the way, I didn't see him again first night. I'm in like a suit or something. I'm by myself now, just like an idiot. So I went out, had fun, whatever. But I remember the next night, it was like, oh yeah, I'm at Casa Cipriani. I think it was the second night, right?
No, that was the first night.
It was all the first
night.
You
had the podcast the next day.
Yeah.
Where you showed up in the same outfit because you came straight from my house? Or did you stop?
No, I did.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, I got
Can I ask
out.
You guys a question?
No. Sure.
Okay, so did you guys hook up the first night?
Yes.
Hold on.
But not entirely.
It was not an entire hookup. No. Which, by the way,
what does hookup mean, though?
Yeah. What do you
define hookup mean? I don't know. Like the answer is yes, but not what you think. This might be too far. I don't know. Where's the line? She wouldn't have sex with me.
I know that
for a while.
Well, it wasn't a while because it wasn't measured in days.
Yo, come on. Yo, no.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No.
No, she knows it.
I know, but we got to come on, okay, bro. This is okay. My fiance.
No problem. No problem. Listen,
keep it classy.
I will walk that line, and I'm happy to.
I feel like this subject is finished.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah. I will say, though.
So, yeah.
You approached that phenomenally. Like you not having sex with me for the duration of time that you did was very important.
You thought something was wrong with me.
I'll be honest. I thought I did.
You talked to Mike about it.
I said this girl's perfect as far as I can tell. There's one unexplored venture, and I have reason to believe that there's probably something wrong with it, because if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
To upclass my entire conversation, you just hit the nail on the head. It is actually why I was asking the questions, because there are a lot of people out there who have this conversation around how long people
yep.
wait to have sex
yep.
and how that then translates into marriage. And so that is where I was going. I'm not a classless person anymore. I've upgraded quite a bit since we started this podcast. Do you believe that waiting period had a long effect and led to this moment?
No.
I do. I absolutely do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens in a disagreement here? Because I don't see
sorry,
this often.
Sorry. Let me clarify. Would it have changed the outcome? No.
No.
Do I have a good amount of respect for it? And did I appreciate it? I absolutely did. I absolutely did. I thought it was classy. I kind of always wanted my fiance to be that.
Like Cleopatra with the fucking lock on her vagina.
I liked it. I respected it.
I needed to make sure you weren't just some fucking.
She thought I was love bombing her.
Yeah, I thought there was something.
You
know, going
I like
on.
You like me. I have a crush on
it was
you.
It's a lot.
We're gonna be together for a long time. I could just be spewing bullshit from my mouth. She doesn't
know
me, bro.
I didn't know.
She has no idea who I am. You know.
Didn't stop her from being the Nordic vortex. But no. listen. Okay, listen.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I let's get back to the topic at hand. My apologies.
What do you think,
Miss Paul?
Do you think you should have sex on the first date?
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't dated a lot of people, but the girls that I have dated have all made me wait a little bit. And I want to ask you this. Is there a timeline that she could have satisfied, not the entire one that she did, that you would have also found that same level of respect for?
Yeah,
5 days,
absolutely,
10 days?
Absolutely.
Like, is there a...
Well, we were just with each other for so long. There was so much time together. I in my head, we had, you know, crossed that bridge, but she you know, it was, let's change the subject.
Sure. okay, so you have this massive undertaking, and I want to get back to something that you mentioned a few moments ago, because it's wildly important to the conversation. It's a meaty topic. You had these initial reluctance to do the shoot with Logan because of things that you had heard about him. And even having met him, having gotten to know him, how long did it take before you were able to overcome those obstacles that are presented by way of what people think about him, what people say about him, And what would you like the world to know about the man that you know?
No, I can answer that very quickly. As soon as I sat down with you and had one conversation 30 seconds in, I think any person who has spoken to Logan will say the same thing. All of this
great
stuff,
marketer, salesman.
I completely agree
with you.
You know, all of
this seat is great, dude. I gotta say, dude, if you can't hang on this couch, bro, this is fucking, I might not come back. I feel like Barbara Walters. This is incredible. This is fantastic. I got nobody next to me. I'm wide open.
You're crushing it.
This is fantastic. Sorry, you were saying?
After 30 seconds, I was like, you know, everyone has their baggage. Everyone has different baggage. Obviously, his is way more public than any other person, which is also making everything so much tougher. And like, he's gone through so much hardship and he's been canceled multiple times. He has had the entire world turn on him. And he still came out as a better, stronger, wiser, kinder person. So like, anyone that has, you know, their judgment about you, I think if they have one conversation with you, or even now, I feel like you're presenting yourself in a different way now too. Like, you're maturing, you're doing, you know, great business ventures. And like, I feel like you're really just coming into yourself as a man, and like, your vlogging days is such a big part of you, but like, you're so much more than that. So like, I'm excited to see you continue growing and for people to see what an amazing man you actually are. And I know you're going to do so much good. So like, people that talk shit right now, just wait, like, let them.
Thanks, babe. I have no problem sleeping in the bed that I've made. And I understand I've done a lot of good. I've done some bad and I've had ups and downs. They've all been online. I think mature maybe a little slower than the average person, and at points in my life where my priorities were shifted and the top ones became about views, I lost myself. And I don't think there's anything, what's that quote you said, don't attribute to malice
what can adequately be explained by incompetence,
which is what I was. Okay. I was incompetent, especially as like a person.
Basically this idea that if there are shortcomings, if there are breakdowns in a person's process and the outcome that a person presents, that it is more likely to be attributed to their inability to complete something, their foul ups, mess ups, growing pains, whatever, than it is to simply say this person is an evil person. Because when you look around us at this world, everybody is fucking up. Everybody's making mistakes. And I would hate to go through this life thinking that because of that, every person is evil. Mm-hmm. It is much easier to say that we're all learning, we're all growing, and listen, I'm not going to say that eventually after fucking up a million times, you know, that we shouldn't have that conversation and start to further inspect a person's persona and output. But I believe that in this world, we do quickly demonize people and continue to demonize people very fast.
It's easy to, you know?
It's very easy,
it's
to.
Easy to do it now.
And I think if you can survive and grow from these downs, you become that much better of a person. And I've done it.
I mean, that's where the magic happens.
You know?
That wasn't supposed to be blanket protection either, by the way. You've fucked up a lot of times, bro.
For sure.
I've been here, I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? Sure. But I also like her, know you, and I also love you as a good man. And so whatever.
And taking accountability. Like, that's something you're big on.
I think it's very important.
Don't point at Mike though. You start pointing.
Oh no. Shit.
Am I being involved? When I pointed at you in
Qatar, do you remember that? No pointing.
There's always going to be a point in your relationship.
A point. Where you, nice.
where your girlfriend gets in a fight with your best friend. And we had it in Qatar outside the World Cup. And Nina pointed in Mike's face. Mike says, "Get your finger out of my face." Then I put my finger in his face and I said, "Do not talk to her like that." Now my finger's in your face. What are you going to do about it?
Now you got two fingers in your fucking face. What are you going to do?
It backfired on me. I didn't like the one. Then I had two. I was like, shit.
No, and then you started pointing too.
That's what makes sense.
You can't. I did say to her after though, although I completely think she was in the right in that scenario, and who knows where we're going to net out overall, us versus you in that situation. But I did say to her, I said, "Do be careful who you're pointing at closely in the face, because that can rub a lot of people, especially men, the wrong way.
I learned from it.
You know, it's just a lot, like, dude, well, that's come on, bro. Like, someone puts their finger in your
and
face.
And by the way, that's all I'd said. I didn't say, like, you're wrong in sentiment or you're wrong in substance. I just didn't appreciate
it. But all I wanted was an apology, which I also think was a completely fair thing to ask for at that point in time.
There was a lot of context. It was a messy situation with
Messi.
Yeah, it was with Messi.
Literally,
with Messi involved.
Messi with Messi.
Yeah, it was just a lot going on with security and process and.
Do you want me to explain it?
No, I don't know if we should go into it.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, it was a messy situation. And by the way, it also kind of thrashed the game too, at least for Nina, which sucked because she spent the rest of the time kind of in an upset mood.
Yeah.
As a result of it, so it sucked.
Yep. Whatever.
Okay, back on the topic. Going into a relationship with someone who has had, and by the way, like, continues to have these type of scenarios play up, whether deservingly, sorry, or not, is that something that you took into consideration in your decision to be with him, knowing that this could, you know,
pop off?
This could pop off at any moment. This perfect relationship, this house, all this beautiful white picket fence, this Americana could at any time be burned to the ground.
We live
by
in Puerto Rico.
Well, it's an American.
There's no white fence. Did it play any role? No.
Maybe earlier in the relationship.
No, it did not. As soon as I sat down with him and we started talking, it was like I've known him for years, and like, you know, I think it was more of a learning curve throughout the relationship, where it was like, okay, I'm dating someone who obviously is in the limelight and that has controversies and that keeps pushing the envelope and that keeps doing him unapologetically. That word is so hard to say. But I think for me as a partner, the most important thing I could do was to just be supportive and like, I believe in him. So like, I know we're going to go through ups and downs, like any relationship. And these are just, they're really big ups and really big downs.
And we have, and there were moments that to me during the downs solidified that this is the person I'm going to be with for the rest of my life, you know?
Do you want to get into one of them?
I'll just definitely say there was a moment. It was the darkest moment of my life. I've never been suicidal. I'll never die by my own hand. But I was having really dark thoughts. And as a visualizer, as a director, as a person who can very clearly see things before they exist, it's why I like directing videos. It's why I like telling the stories I tell. I was seeing some really nasty things. Couldn't sleep multiple nights. Shell of myself. And this girl was there for me, by my side, walking me through all of it during an important time in her life when I was supposed to meet her dad.
Yep.
And it was in Denmark. We were in Randers, Denmark, like a tiny town in Denmark in the middle of winter. You don't see sun. Like, it was just the darkest days right before Christmas.
It was one of the only times in my relationship with you that I was worried about your health.
I was getting calls from everyone that loves me. And she was, you know, texting my friends and making sure that they're, like, aware and just making sure that people are communicating with me. And it was in that moment where I said, damn, this girl really does love me. Like, really does love me. This is a love I haven't even experienced before. Mm-hmm. Definition of ride or die, quite literally. And it was then that I knew that I was gonna make you my wife one day.
So for you, Logan, I just love this couch. For you, Logan, is that not another you know, representative moment in your life? And wow, what a pure moment to share with the audience of how a seemingly terrible moment in your life was then flipped to produce a vision of something so beautiful, and how important that is to share to people that God dang, every fucking L you take has such a beautiful lesson.
No, it always is.
Yeah.
It always is. Yeah. Every single down, every single lowest moment of my life has turned into the biggest blessing, the biggest positive. If you can survive that shit, you will come out a better person. You will come out a developed person, a person who's experienced something. You've actually been through shit. I don't get along with and cannot relate to people who have not fucking been through shit. It's not hardship makes people.
Yeah.
And if you can learn from it, I only see the positives.
Go through it. Get through it. You can get through it and learn from it, like, even in relationships, like every time we have some sort of conflict or anything like that, like I think in my past, I've had a hard time communicating about that. I think it's a tough thing in relationships to like have a conflict and then actually have a, you know, a really good conversation that's productive, not, you know, flames and fire everywhere. And like, this was the first relationship that I've had where I felt safe enough to do it. And I felt both of us, we're both Aries, so we both want to just fucking fight.
Our birthday's like a week apart, dude.
Yeah.
it's fire and fire.
But it's like about taking that moment to be like, I'm going to change my pattern in myself and in my relationship now because I love this person and I want this to work. And I think both of us for the first time was equally willing to back off a little bit.
You have to be. And I realized it early on. Like, I have a habit of self-sabotage. I just do.
Yeah,
and she does
a
little bit as well.
Too.
I did try it.
Yeah, you did.
And she said it. She's like, are you self-sabotaging? And I'm like, yes.
Guilty. Can you hand me that prime?
Yeah.
By the way, it's also worth noting that like the horrible interaction that we had at the World Cup, like this is all a very similar time. Like this is a very whirlwind.
It was right after
things.
Qatar.
I know that.
December, you had food poisoning in Qatar. Yep, it was the worst month of
and I remember,
our lives.
Yeah. It really was. Wait. Let me say this.
Yep.
Early on, I realized that I was going to have to activate the qualities in me that could be a good partner. And I was going to have to work to do that because this woman was worth it. And I was happy to do it. And so with every tiff we've had, I try to take that beat, not let that fire come out, not let that fighter come out.
The fighter.
He's an actual combat fighter.
Like, I'm fighting with a fighter.
Like, dude, I don't stray away from it.
Yeah.
Especially like, verbally.
You don't have to tell me, Logan. You don't have to tell me. I've been on the receiving end of
it
about 5,000 fucking times. Okay.
I like it.
We brought
it up. Problem.
We brought it up on the episode Boys Only that we just did about this argument we got in when I told them, hey, listen, if you spend half the time you spend talking to the fucking Nina, and this was real early on, that you and you put that into the show, maybe we'd have a successful broadcast program. And he said, watch your fucking mouth.
Did he
that
point?
Is
you're pointing.
He was sitting, we were sitting in a precarious way, but he said, you know, that's my future wife and the mother of my children. So watch how you talk right now. And this was very early on in your relationship. We were in Las Vegas. It was a very fiery moment for us. And we've had many, many real fiery moments.
You guys are kind of like brothers.
We're beyond friends. We're fucking brothers.
Yeah. Which means you're my brother too.
Facts.
Yeah, actually.
Damn, another sister. Another freaking
Yay!
Sister.
Abby's my sister then too. Sick.
And I love that I love that all of you guys are good friends with Abby.
I love Abby.
And with baby Sloane.
Oh my God.
And I think it's good training for you guys. And I'll ask about the baby soon. We were just talking about Copenhagen. And before we get too fucking far out here and it's 9 o'clock and we start losing our minds, can we get a snapshot of your youth? Can we talk about your life a little bit? About growing up in this... sometimes 24 hours of dark countries, other times 24 hours of light country.
Yep.
This place called Denmark, Copenhagen, where Prime just launched recently, by the way.
Give me
my equity.
Plug it. What do you want to know?
What was it like? What's it like living there? What's it like growing up there? Did you go, were you rich? Did you know the palace, like the back of your hand? Did you meet the king?
No. I grew up super normal, like middle class family. In my opinion, I had the best childhood. My parents were together. They got divorced later in life. I wasn't, you know, living in the country, so I didn't even know that was happening. And now they're both happy, so it's all good. But I grew up with my parents together with an older brother, Emil, who's 5 years older than me. Denmark is super safe. As you know, we have free healthcare, free school. You know, the taxes are super high, but I do think in a country like that, it works. And like to be raised there was probably, I mean, I'm the best thing that could have happened to anyone, but to me especially, like super grounding, super normal, you know, took either rode the bus to school or walked or biked, even when it was fucking snowstorm, my dad would be like, get on the bike, you gotta get to school. Just super normal living, which is also why I needed to leave.
you wanted more for yourself.
I think the Danish culture, I love Denmark, I love Danish people, but there is a certain culture that I just could not really relate to when I got older. Like it's very
traditional for sure,
but like it's not like when I came to America and I walked into a store and people were like, hi, how are you? I was like, what, you're asking me how I'm doing? Like what? Why?
Well that so because I don't remember the exact number in the rankings. I know it's very high. I believe Finland is one.
We got beat, but we were number one for a while for the happiest people in the world.
Yep. Right? And so,
but also a lot of suicides. So there's, you know, a little,
define a lot because per capita, I'm sure it's got to be fucking dramatically lower than any other.
I think the winters. Anywhere with long ass
for sure
days,
yeah, and, like, can really, and also the fact that you don't talk about mental health the same way as you do, I think, in America. I think, you know, it's getting there and people are getting more emotionally available and intelligent, but like there's still so much more room to grow in that part of the world, in my opinion, but also everywhere. But
yeah. And is it huts, igloos, like what is the land?
Yeah, I lived in an igloo.
Got it. Okay, cool.
It was cool. No, it's flat. The land is flat. Like it's just super normal.
Yeah.
Like I grew up in a house with my mom and dad's room, my brother's room.
It's one of the things I love about her, Mike. You can tell this girl doesn't walk with an air of privilege.
Yep.
She's fucking grateful for everything. One of the first things I noticed about her after I noticed she filled out every single girlfriend quality that I have a list on my phone, she filled out all of them.
Do you think that's weird, by the way, just quickly, that he has that list?
Everyone has a list.
No, I don't
have a list.
I think writing down and manifesting and being intentional about your thoughts and what you want, I actually think is a really good thing.
Do you ever lose arguments to him?
I wouldn't say lose, but he definitely has been right where I had to admit that I was wrong.
And vice versa. And she's right a lot, Mike. Yeah. She's one of those. If Nina says something, there's a 95% chance she's right.
Yeah, my hit rate is pretty strong.
It's very high. Yeah. And her intuition is strong. It's very high. But gratefulness was one of the things I put on wife qualities. Like not just girlfriend qualities, wife qualities. Because I realized like we'd be going about our day and we're having a great day and just living a very happy, good life. And she's like, no, we're so lucky. We're so blessed right now. And
we are,
it,
you guys.
It was such a, we are.
And, no, and for sure.
To like, recognize that and live in that space instead of thinking you deserve anything, I think definitely came from how grounded she was. And good job to her parents.
Yes,
for and Anamita, yes. Her dad's name is yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe.
No, actually.
Her dad's name is Yes.
Gratitude is the bedrock for happiness. Let's be honest.
Well, she started saying thanks for everything. She thanks me every time I pay for a meal. This is my fiance. Every time I pay for a meal, thanks for dinner, babe. Come on, dude. Like, that's so cool to me. And it came from, I think, how grounded she was as a child and just lived a very normal life. But she had that zest for life that somehow, at the age of 18, this young Danish girl who was able to make it in the specific industry moved to America by herself without knowing a single person.
I did not
or
know
English.
One person.
Dude, she's an 18-year-old girl who doesn't know English or anyone, moved to America to pursue a life that she didn't know existed yet.
So run me through this. You get off the boat, Ellis Island. what happens next, right? You go through, you feel like, did they change your name at the port?
No.
I may be a few years off. I'm sorry.
They used to do that back in the day. So, way back in the day.
Yeah. This is talking, I think, 1800s. Okay, yeah. So where do you land?
I landed in Miami. Miami was my hometown in America.
Horrifying.
That's where her agency was, no?
We're in Miami right now, by the way, a place that
I
historically have tried to steer clear of.
I've recently found
things that I like about Miami
it's
as well.
Great. I landed in Miami. That's where the agency that provided my visa was. Didn't speak English, got off the plane with one suitcase, didn't know a single person, had an address and a piece of paper because back then we didn't have iPhones, and have money for a cab, didn't know what ground transportation meant. So literally exited at departures somehow. And I'm standing there and all these cabs are going by being like, no, we can't pick you up. And then I start crying because I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? And this taxi pulls up and he's like, hey, you have to go downstairs to get a cab. And I was like, address Euclid Avenue. And then he was like, okay, just jump in. And he took me to the model apartment where Diana, who just had a baby, Spanish Diana, shout out.
Shout out to Spanish Diana.
she barely spoke English either. So we were communicating with, you know, our laptops walking around. And then Lauren Burns from Texas moved in. And she was the first girl that was like, you're here now. You got to start speaking. She's like, I don't care what it sounds like, but you got to just start talking. She started taking me out. And then the rest was history.
Dude, I found out, but she's fucking Danish. I said, where's your accent? I can't tell you have an accent. She lost it over the years, but I knew there would be some videos online where young Nina had a young Danish accent, and they're there. There's some gold. She was on Lip Sync Battle, which I also found.
Oh, that video's insane.
Against David Spade,
yeah. Crushing it.
Yeah, because let's go right into it. You've had a very long career of very interesting moments. You've done a lot of interesting stuff in your career. I mean, give a quick walkthrough of how you ended up going from this Bring Me to Euclid Avenue, straight out of Igloo, right, to sitting on the set of Ridiculousness with Rob Dyrdek
regularly, or doing
that insane burlesque dance that was uncomfortable for me to watch.
What the fuck happened? I obviously was in Miami for a couple of months. I was doing castings. I was, you know, focusing on keeping my body right. I had to lose some weight, whatever, which is a whole other conversation. And then I did a casting with Victoria's Secret in New York, which kind of like, you know, pushed everything in the right direction. Like as soon as a model can put that on their resume, it's a lot of doors that automatically open up. Even though I barely did the job, like they were like, your boobs are too big and you didn't get a mani and pedicure, so this is not good. And I was like, whatever. Did not even think about the fact that it's Victoria's Secret. I didn't understand in my head how important this job would be. So I showed up unprepared. Okay, then I did Sports Illustrated.
Victoria's Secret, wouldn't they want some titties? You know what I'm saying?
Back then, it was
just underwear.
It was
like, did it make bras? What they want to put in the fucking?
No, they wanted to put the cutlets in because it photographs.
Oh, the chicken cutlets.
Better. Yeah. So when I didn't need them because I had.
I throw those things at the windows. I used to back in the day. Stick.
Yeah.
You just launch them at the wall.
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry. Anyways.
Did Sports Illustrated. Got the Rookie of the Year. I think Kate Upton was the year before me. Shout out Kate. And then after that, it kind of just escalated. And then I started booking jobs. I was working 5 to 6 days a week, was traveling the world, was living a life I did not even imagine for myself. Like, modeling wasn't something that I was like, I want to be a supermodel. I want to, you know, be famous. Like, all these, it was never my intention. I just wanted to fucking make money. That's all. I just wanted to make money so I could move away from Denmark and be independent and live the life that I. This fly.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Oh no, you. Yeah, you got it.
I think it's dead, dude.
You think so?
Did you have karate in your background?
Yeah, that was impressive. Amazing.
So here I am.
So you're this.
I want to say one thing.
Go ahead, Logan Paul.
I feel like I've been talking a lot and I've wanted to let her talk.
You haven't said anything. I've been asking her questions.
I know. Well, that's she said. She said I don't want to make this like an interview. And I was like, well, you do have an interesting life. Like,
we're trying to learn about her.
Independent person.
Yeah,
it's incredible. But we, if you're comfortable with it,
see, I feel like you just
you can ask me anything.
I feel like you just got nervous there that you didn't want to upset her.
Well, no, just she definitely said to me, I don't want this to be an interview.
No, but it's just a conversation.
Is it that, or is it because you know she got, as you said, the Greenland Gripper?
Yo, motherfucker! I said she could suck the chrome off a Cadillac. Don't get it twisted. He's a Danish Hoover.
Oh, the Green Line Gripper's crazy.
If my dad watches this,
so of course he's gonna.
I don't think he will actually, but my grandma will.
But will Lona, any of them understand those terms from the igloo?
No way.
The grandma, I talked to the grandma. She said, "Eek nok eek." You know what I'm saying? Like, she don't know what I'm saying.
You gotta meet Lona.
Okay, so what do we do then if we don't ask?
No, you can. I'm comfortable now. It was the thought that I think was more.
We're pretty relaxed. You know,
I think this has been going.
He's not even wearing fucking shoes, so Super.
I looked at producer. Chill. Producer saying thumbs, green lights, thumbs up across.
Do you have any particular questions? Because like there are some moments in our relationship.
Please, by all means. I'm here to support. I swear to you, I'm here to support. And I actually really do enjoy watching you guys talk. I'm sorry. I'm trying to ask questions.
You should.
From the audience perspective. But yep, I think the real moments are with you two.
Well, you're here too. So it's with you too.
I'm watching. I like watching this.
I think you're so pretty.
Thanks, babe.
Got some high standards over here, bro, being on this couch.
Went to go get my skydiving license. And this was another moment in our relationship where...
This was rough.
She just wasn't cool with
this
it.
This was rough. Yeah.
She knew I was going to attempt to get 23 jumps in like 2 days to get my B...
I thought it was 27.
27 jumps in 2 days to get my B-class license. And...
Why? Why? Yeah. 27 jumps out of a helicopter. Like so many things.
Oh no,
it was
23. It was 23 because I had 27. I needed 23 to get 50 jumps, yep. And it went from like
I was pissed.
Okay, I'm not cool with this. To the day of, I'm about to do it. She's like crying. She's like, I don't want you to do this. I didn't want to date a skydiver. I didn't fucking sign up for this. I didn't want to date a skydiver.
No, yeah, I don't think anybody really wants
to. No, that's true. Like, that's not what I signed up for. Like, you're a wrestler and you're an action figure, a boxer. Like, I didn't sign up for you jumping out of planes 23 times in 3 days.
What did you ever think about that action? What did you think about that action figure, by the way?
I think it's sick.
Like, you know the pillow for us?
You will use anything.
Hello.
You use a fucking rubber duck.
It wasn't rubber.
Duck.
It was cushiony.
Oh. Oh, you had a cushiony duck?
The first time I was humping a small cushiony duck, yes.
That's what dogs do. There's dogs that do that.
I'm a man. We're basically dogs.
What a surreal moment for you, yeah, I'm crazy. Sure. That and for crazy. Me too. I'm like, why is my fiance on a piece of plastic?
No. I am a piece of plastic.
No, you're not.
I'm plasticized.
Okay.
Do you feel a responsibility to those around you as it pertains to moments of PDA?
What does pertains mean?
Ooh.
Do you feel like
having to do with
what do you feel about PDA? And do you feel like there's a level of responsibility and personal responsibility that comes with going out in public with a lover?
Public displays of affection.
We haven't made out yet, so
ever.
I'm actually surprised.
One smoke. Your breath is still weird.
I got a thing removed from my mouth. And they got anesthesia in it. And I'm smelling medicinal right now in my breath.
I'm hard.
What
did you say just now?
I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from.
Nah,
guys,
that was incredible.
Is there any way you can answer the question? I didn't ask you guys to make out with
each other. I started dating Nina. I quickly realized she likes to kiss in public. And I did not.
I love love and people that are in love when I see a couple that's just so happy with each other. Obviously, there is a limit. I'm aware we passed the limit according to your rules.
I actually don't agree with that. I think there's a responsibility level that coincides with the current newness of a relationship. Yeah, first, of course, you're Of course you're fucking in public places. You're out on the patio. Oh my God, like we got caught fucking on the patio by Only in Dade, the Instagram page. It can happen. It really can happen.
What I'm saying is this. Has it happened?
No, I'm just saying metaphorically as it could happen, right?
We haven't done that.
What I'm saying is this. I think for where you guys are now in your relationship, your PDA is very responsible.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Because
I think she gets kind of where I'm, my comfort level with it.
And if it was up to me, nothing would have changed.
Smothered.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I'm sorry if we make you uncomfortable. We love each other.
I also like to think about, we're at a restaurant. Call it Buca di Beppo, right? I just throw that out there. Like an Italian restaurant, right? And imagine it's around Christmas season. And of course, we're sitting at a table of happy up jump people. We're all having a good time. And I don't take much offense to the fact that I'm eating my chicken parmesan, watching my friends fuck each other at Buca di Beppo. That's fine.
It's the spirit.
But a part of me thinks to that one lady at the table by herself who may have just lost a lover.
Yo, right? What are you talking about?
And by the way, maybe her pension ran out at General Electric.
Oh my God.
Why is she at Boogity Beppo?
Because it's cover not, her meal, I'm gonna be then. Honest, it's not fucking expensive there. Okay, Boogity Beppo's not expensive.
The portions are crazy for the price.
That was a good Christmas dinner.
Yes, yeah, so maybe she's eating there and she's having a tough time. And the last thing she wants to watch is a porno being filmed.
I'm empathetic
to people who don't have lovers. At the time, I didn't have one. Maybe I was upset. Maybe I felt, wow, maybe I'll never feel like that. What about all the lonely people out there watching this that say to themselves, watching them kiss actually makes me feel quite sad about my situation. Jeff Wittick brought it up earlier. See, raise your hand if you've ever been victimized by a PDA situation.
You got a hand.
We got two hands.
Go ahead.
Oh,
spin the camera, Caleb.
We got three hands.
Thank you. Jeff, has anyone ever felt victimized by PDA?
That's like half the
room. By watching people make out.
Oh, come on.
That's half the room.
I mean, it's a pretty significant audience. So I just, listen, I'm okay with it. And by the way, there's nothing better than watching attractive people. It's great. You know what I mean?
We work out together a lot. She's super into fitness.
Guys, I'm being semi-sarcastic. I hope that
No,
comes.
It's all okay. Good. I'm not upset at all.
One day I opened up the TV to go look at something. And in the search bar, it said Depression TED Talk. And I was like, "Oh,
what a bad day!
Was I supposed to see that? Oops!" And she started laughing. We started laughing about it, right? She was having a bad day, right? And then she's like, "Yeah, I've been going on YouTube for some inspo, some motivation sometimes." I was like, "Totally get it." She's like, "Yeah, just yesterday, I watched a man scream at me for 4 minutes before I went to the gym." She watched a David Goggins video.
I did.
To motivate her
to go
to the gym.
A guest I dramatically want to have on the show.
She's like, "Do you know David Goggins?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I watched him scream at me for 4 minutes before I went to the gym.
He fucking yelled at me. Like, I've never been yelled at before."
He's incredible.
Yeah, I had to get up.
He's like, one of the most motivational
people. Those are the moments, like, when you feel your worst, that's when you got to push.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You're right. I feel like shit. I am in the dumpster. What is the one thing I can do for myself right now? It's to get up and try to fix this problem. And the first thing I have to do is fitness.
And obviously, being someone who understands the demons intimately, I'm the exact same way. And by the way, friends that are as well. I don't get up and sweat and get my mind moving, my body moving, my mind will never recover.
Step one.
This is a very interesting question, and I'm happy you brought this up. Logan, being a extremely headstrong individual, someone who is very focused, manifest friendly, goal oriented, driven, and just kind of always on top of his mental state, mm-hmm. beyond that Copenhagen incident, right?
No, beyond.
Mm-hmm. He has, I'll just say it, historically struggled quite a bit with the understanding and awareness and empathy, not from a malicious standpoint, but let's say understanding of people who he is friends with or loved ones, battles with mental illness and with whatever substance, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
How has that been for you? And do you feel like someone being as close to him as you are has helped him better understand what it means to struggle with mental health?
I mean, I think he could answer that better than I can, but
sure.
As someone who has dealt with anxiety for, am I good now?
Yeah.
Okay. As someone who's dealt with anxiety for 13 plus years now, almost 15 years, which is crazy. And then depression within the past 5 years, obviously they're demons. Like, there is certain days where you wake up and it's so fucking hard to get out of that bed. It is so fucking hard. And then you're next to a guy like this, who I wouldn't say jump out of the bed. He wakes up and then it takes him 45 minutes to do his little grunting mechanism and get his body ready to move out of bed. You're literally like Quinn the dog.
I'm so lazy.
Yeah. Wakes up very slowly. But he wakes up and he's ready and he's happy and he's excited and he doesn't deal with the mental health demons that I do. It's definitely been a bit of a learning process, I think, for both of us to understand how these issues impact me, you, our relationship. Because like since we spend so much time together, obviously I am 50% of it. So my energy on every single day affects the whole day. And I think we've learned that he does not need to match my energy. Like I'm going to have bad days. I'm going to have days where just everything seems impossible. And like instead of him meeting me there and like sulking with me, he's there to like help me feel better and like, you know, I guess making me feel sure that tomorrow is going to be better. But it's definitely been a learning process. I think you're the one that should answer that. But
that was, by the way, that was an absolutely beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. And for anybody watching that's in a relationship, a friendship, a family member who is dealing with this type of thing, that answer is so wonderful to bring positivity, you mm-hmm. know, and as opposed to trying to, the issue is so complex
yeah.
that if he were to, or they were to spend their entire time trying to understand and yeah. match you and meet no. you and therapeutic with you, it's an exercise.
Or like forcing, being like, why don't you go do this? Or being like, how can you feel like this? Look around you, like, you know, do your grateful list. Like
which that's was something that you have said in the past. Yeah. And so it's a place that I've seen you.
I mean, I'll speak for the people who yeah. don't battle with the demons. Mental illness is not easy to understand, dude. If you don't experience it or you're not with someone who lives that, it is a hard concept to grasp. What do you mean? Look around you. Life is easy. There's kids starving in Africa. No, it's not how it works. Mm-hmm. You're in your head. You're living your life. And if you have a chemical imbalance, it's really hard to fight. Mm-hmm. I felt that a little bit when I went through the people laugh at me when I say this, but the weed withdrawals is like the first time I was wired wrong in my head and everything was fine. But in my head, it was the worst time ever. And this woman who I love every part of is my partner. And now my lifelong partner. And I've always kind of treated this relationship like this. But if she has that and that's a part of her, I must learn the mechanisms to help her get through whatever she is going through whenever she goes through it. And I learn more and more every single time. And I try to, A, be there for her and have her know that, like, I'm by your side. I'm in this. I'm not judging you. I totally understand where your head is at. Because
you judge yourself so much when you're in it. You're like, why do I feel like this?
Well, he's seen it in me 100 times. I mean, he's looked at me and said, why is this happening? Like, I don't understand. Like, you're a confident speaker. You know what you're talking about. You're sitting on this couch. You're not even talking right now. Like, why are you having an anxiety attack? Why are you having a panic attack? Why are you having shortness of breath, tightness of chest? Why is that happening right now? Mm-hmm. And I'm actually grateful that you are teaching him because it's going to help me. It helps him understand my days and the days when I'm unable to perform and unable to do my job.
I wonder if every person's coping mechanisms are different. And I know Nina very well at this point. Mm-hmm. I will say she does a great job at working on it.
High functioning. I'm the same way. I'm going to get through it.
She always gets through it. Yeah. But I've not seen anyone's ability to find solutions like her. Like I mentioned it on the last podcast. Today, she went for a 50-minute walk and listened to a Mel Robbins podcast about anxiety. And like she works, bro. She works. And she understands that, you know, sometimes to escape or even distract your mind for a second, it's going to take work. But for me, you know, I'm not going through it. Baby, what can I do? And mm-hmm. If she's having a bad day, I make sure to give her that space and, you know, let her do process whatever she needs to process, but also be there for her if she needs me and just check on her. That's the, like, mm-hmm. you know, how are you? How do you feel?
Little
you know?
Text, I'm little here. Questions.
Yep.
It's just very tough. And there's probably so many people now with the advent of social media and all the things that are in this environment that we live in nowadays that are going through this type of situation, but it's tough. It's happened to me in my relationships. I've had to tell girls that I'm talking to there's going to be days where I have no explanation for you. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you why. And by the way, it has nothing to do with you. It has not, because as humans, we innately want to say, is it something that I'm doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And you try to do that and you want to take some level of responsibility for the fact mm-hmm. that the other person feels like that, mm-hmm. but it's not.
Exactly.
It's not, I can, and I've said this a million times on the show, this is my least favorite thing about mental illness, is it's so unpredictable. I can wake up on any given day and be a fucking disaster and have to start to execute those coping mechanisms that she does.
It's a toolbox. You build your toolbox and you figure out what works for you and you just keep those tools ready for when you need them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a battle.
Like, bro, I'm telling you, she works at it. She goes to therapy. She's watching depression TED Talks.
Whatever it takes. No, who cares?
For sure. Yeah. No, that's it.
Who cares?
Whatever it fucking takes.
Yep. Just got to get through the day. That was a day yesterday. Yesterday, I just had to get through yesterday. So all I was focusing on, just get through today. Tomorrow's a new day.
And I love every piece of you. And I'm here for all of it.
I know. And that reassurance helps me a lot. So even if you don't have a partner, like if you're friends with someone who deals with mental health illness, I think it's really important to let them know that you love them and you're there for them. And even in the darkest times, everything is going to be fine. And tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well said.
Beautiful. Let's talk about these little shits. When's it happening? I mean, dude, you're going to get fucking married. And how long we got to wait? When are you going to put out a little fucking spawn, dude?
A little spawn.
We're figuring it out. We're trying to figure out when we want to do the wedding, where we want to do the wedding. And kind of depending on that is going to be the deciding factor when we're having kids. We're going to try.
But it's on the roadmap.
Inshallah, knock on wood.
But it's on the roadmap.
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely on the roadmap.
Yes, we're so excited.
What are you shooting for?
What do you mean? In terms of sex,
I guess you would
say. I don't care as long as it's a healthy baby.
Want a boy.
Yep.
Boy and girl, two boys.
Want two boys and a girl.
I mean, two boys and a girl is a dream scenario, but again, healthy, happy.
Boy, girl. Got babe. Big bros to protect her.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. I love that.
This girl's going to be such a bad bitch. She's not going to need it.
That's the problem. I'll be honest with you. If this girl looks anything like Nina, I'm in fucking trouble.
She's going to look like Johnny. We should name her Johnny.
I'm wonderful.
Yeah, she's going to be the cutest little girl ever. She's going to melt me. I will no longer be human.
You're already melting with Joey. We rescued a dog.
We rescued a dog on the side of a road in Puerto Rico.
Yep.
We drove past this little dog.
She's cute.
And she was way too close to the road. Yeah, and we were both like, that was kind of like a cute dog. Why is it that close? That dog's going to get run over. We're not doing anything. Let's push it off the road.
Yep.
And we do a U-turn, get out of the car. And this little fucking cutie runs right up to Nina. And it was the first stray that's overly friendly. Like, this dog loves humans.
So happy.
And of course, we were like,
desperate for love.
This starving dog, you can see her ribs, can't just sit here. And so we took her back to our home. And now she's in Miami and Nina's in love with her and hit me with the I want to keep her.
How does that affect the relationship with Daisy?
What?
Like, you really got to be thinking about this.
You have Daisy, a dog. You have a dog named Daisy.
Daisy right now is in Puerto Rico, feeling left out.
Yeah, same
with
Quinn.
She thought she was coming to go to Casa Tua. She thought she was going to go to Liv. Yeah. She was all pumped up. I saw she had her little doggy bag packed. And you have deserted her. And now Quinn is probably eating her butthole against her will.
Daisy lives the best fucking life. That girl is fine. As long as Milton is like taking care of them,
which is unlikely.
He is he's very good.
Did he give
Quinn
his pills this morning?
We gotta check on that.
I bet he didn't.
Okay.
There is one very important stop, and
do you know where that's from? You remember, right?
Question.
Did you give Quinn his pills this morning?
Yeah, yeah.
With the peanut butter?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fuck yeah. Thanks, Milt.
Yeah, I started cleaning his ears with the stuff.
Oh, thank you, bro. All right, I'll see you later.
Probably cleaned
Love
his...
Love you, Milt.
Probably cleaned
Love
his...
Love you, Milt. I can't beat him at backgammon.
Probably cleaned his ears with the peanut butter, then mixed
it up. Yeah. We got back. There's just peanut butter falling out of his ears.
Last thing from me.
Yep.
There is one very important stop. You're watching this train drive down the track. Choo-choo, choo-choo, the Nina Paul train, choo-choo. Wedding, kids, all this shit. Unfortunately, there's one stop before that wedding. This motherfucker has to have a bachelor party, son.
I already got some ideas.
And so I'm just wondering, I mean, first and foremost, like, shit.
No hookers, Michael. No strippers, Michael.
Who's planning this thing, bro? Because let's be honest. You're either going to do it with someone or you're going to do it right. I'm waiting for the fucking you to say, Your brother, God bless your brother. I'm sure he's the best man. I'm sure he's all these things. He's very busy. He's got fights. He's got all this shit to do.
I think Mike should plan it.
Of course.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
You.
I didn't even think about it. I'm just not there yet.
But no hookers, no strippers.
Yeah. We're just enjoying being engaged. It's fun.
You have my word.
It's fucking awesome.
No hookers, no strippers.
That's all.
Easy peasy.
I don't want that at my bachelor party.
Bro, I'm not a fucking he's never fucked a guy. A hooker in his life, bro. This kid's not a, he doesn't give
he's
a
what?
Shit.
He's
never fucked a hooker in his life.
No, that was good, babe.
Are you done with me?
No, never.
Okay, but like on this couch.
No, never.
You guys can do some other.
I love you so much.
I love you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. That was great, of course.
Yeah, you're I think you're the most amazing person ever, and like I could gas you up all day, and I think it's cool that the people who watch us all the time now get to be introduced to someone who I find so important, the most important in my life.
Be nice to me.
It's not them you have to worry about. It's the men who are shorter than you and are fucking losers. Okay. And they're out there, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I also quickly want to apologize for all the men out there, whether you're single and about to try to get in a relationship with the guys that currently are, because this dude's setting a fucking unrealistic like benchmark. Like, dude, like your relationship doesn't have to look like this. Okay, it doesn't have to. You don't need to bring the girl to Como and do the whole Polaroid.
No,
all that
you
shit.
Don't.
Just
no,
love
you
her.
Do not.
Just love her. Be faithful. Yep. All that stuff. Because now I feel pressure. I feel fucking pressure. Okay, I feel fucking pressure. Hey,
okay?
Mike, are you gonna remember every moment of our relationship and write it down in a little fucking book? And is the ring gonna be $750,000? You can bring me to this place, that place with
you're
the fucking
explode.
Polaroid camera. Run your own race. We all love watching this, but god dang, take it fucking easy on us.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. I was told by Caleb, who runs Impulsive, to tell you, the audience, to rate us 5 stars on Spotify and iTunes. It'll help our ratings, and we would like to get boosted in the charts. And also hit that subscribe button. Thank you guys for watching this episode of Impulsive. We love you. See you next time. Bye. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.